Speaker is Ed S. from San Diego.
I'm Ed. I'm an alcoholic.
Amen.
Glad to be here and glad to be sober. Hate to think of the alternative at this point. Wouldn't be pretty. Like to congratulate the birthday people and the 90-day chip people, but especially the newcomers. I remember I went to a meeting right next door to my apartment. I got sober in Vancouver, British Columbia in May 27th, 1990, and I guess it would have been the first couple of weeks of June. I went to a meeting at the Legion, upstairs at the Legion, and I remember before I got sober, I'd see these people coming out of the Legion, and I'm thinking, you know, the Legion's like a veterans, and, you know, I'd say, those don't look like drinkers, you know, they were upstairs at the Legion doing an AA meeting. But I was 18 days sober, and I remember the woman came to the podium, and I announced myself as a newcomer, and she said, you know, you, the newcomer, you're the most important person here. And I didn't know what she meant, but I knew that she meant it, you know. Oh, 10 minutes. So that's the short version of how it was, what happened and what it's like today. I remember I was coming up on my two-year cake, and I was all so concerned about what I would say because I hit it out of the park on my one-year cake, right? And so I went to one of the elders at my men's meeting and said, Michael O'Shea, a good Irishman, I said, Michael, I'm a little concerned about, you know, topping my one-year talk. And he says, don't worry, Eddie, they'll just be all sitting there thinking about themselves. So I could relate to that, and I've been off the hook ever since, you know. Whatever you say, you say. I got an idea of what I want to say and jam into 10 minutes, but how it was bad. What happened? It got worse. What it's like today, it's incredible. You know, I often say that, you know, a wretch like me gets to be, you know, of service and have some purpose and, you know, a family and a life and most importantly, a God in my life, which, you know, I asked for a day of sobriety this morning, and it's a little bit early to thank him, but it's looking good, you know. I'm thinking that, you know, I'm going to get another day of sobriety, and last thing I'm going to do today is thank God, because I know where my bread is buttered. You know, I'm sober. I had a 20-year career of drinking and drugging, and it was kind of like a rocket ride. 10 years, I left home. I left a violent alcoholic home at 16, and I was like getting out of prison. You know, 16 to 26 was like a rocket ride, and 26 to 36, not so much, you know. It was, I wasn't having any fun. I didn't know what to do about it until God tricked me into my first AA meeting in support of my drunken daddy. You know, he got out of a treatment center that I helped him get in, and on a weekend pass, and I got to go to this AA meeting. Will you take me? Of course I will, you know. And so I was in the back cheerleading my drunken daddy, who beat me and raged at me. Of course I would want to help him be sober, and I listened, and I think, wow. I looked over my dad. I didn't say anything, but I thought, man, this could work. This could work for you, Pops, you know. And then there was a smoke break. It was kind of like this format. It was an hour and 15 minutes, I think. And in the second half, that's how quick it was for me. I looked over at him, and I didn't say anything either. I just said, Pops, I don't know what you're doing, but I know what I'm going to do, you know. And I stayed in Alcoholics Anonymous, and I was struck sober. You know, I just remember when I was a kid, I just thought I was tortured by alcoholism. My old man's at first is just like, you know, I remember at Christmas at 10 years old that, you know, I was down in the crawl space with my little road race. It was even slanted, and you know, I was just thinking, you know, I hope there can be a Christmas where things don't come unglued. And, you know, I heard things start to crash and bash upstairs. And, you know, here we go again, right? And I remember thinking, you know what, I don't know what's wrong with our family, but if there was ever a way out, I would take it, and this is it for me. Momentito. I'm going to burn through the first six steps. I could not stay sober on my own, and I drank and drugged every day before 16, but I know for sure every day for 20 years, every single day. I just couldn't stand how I felt, and I needed to be altered, period. And I didn't know what else to do, and I didn't want to be doing it. And then I came to AA and was struck sober, and I think it's 10,117 days or something like that now. And, you know, it's a long time. But I can't stop drinking and drugging on my own. And there's, you know, there's a solid step one. And, step two is not much more difficult for me than, do I think I'm the most powerful force in the universe? No. So by just saying that I'm not the most powerful force in the universe, I acknowledge that there is a power greater than myself in the world, you know. And then step three is a little more, it's making a commitment to put that power to work in my life. And then, you know, the first work I need to do is make a searching and fearless moral inventory. I thought I was going to do some inventory with a person on Thursday night, and we got together, and they said, I said, well, where's your sheet? He said, I left it in the car. I said, well, go get it. He said, no, I don't want it. He said, well, what do you mean? I said, well, we're doing inventory. I said, no, I just want to talk about, you know, my mom. You know, I said, well, you know, well, then that's not inventory. He says, well, no, we just start with that. And so, you know, I said, well, so I had to kind of switch gears in my head. So I work with a lot of people, but I said, okay. I thought to myself, we're not going to do inventory. I don't know. We'll spend some time doing something, right? And it was my observation that the guy was full of fear. Have you flashed me 5 minutes yet?
Yeah.
When?
3 minutes ago.
3 minutes ago? We got 2 minutes left? 2 minutes left?
2 minutes ago.
2 minutes ago. I got 3 minutes left. I got to get to step six. So he wasn't doing it. He wasn't doing a searching and fearless moral inventory. He was fearful and I talked to him since. He's on step two, because it says that, you know, selfishness and self-centeredness is the root of our problem, and it often seems no way of getting rid of it without God's help. That's true. You know, what alcoholic is going to do searching and fearless? It's going to be fearful, and it's not going to be moral. It's not going to be honest. It's going to be a bunch of bullshit, you know, unless you know, God intervenes and, you know, you have the leap of faith, you know, to say, okay, you know what, I'm going to throw caution to the wind, you know. And so that's what it takes, is to do that and do it with someone else. And then in step six, this is where I wanted to end up, is in step six, I remember the first time I did step six, it was like, okay, we're ready. I'm ready. I'm real ready, you know, but I didn't know what it meant. And I did the steps a second time around, and it was like, what is the readiness in step six? And it occurred to me that, the readiness of step six, it was really profound for me, because it was a deeper level of self-acceptance that I didn't have before, and that I needed to give myself a break. That's the point I wanted to make tonight, is in step six, the readiness for having my defects removed. It was my second round of steps. I'd been sober for a while. I had a men's group, and I told them all my stuff, and they accepted me just the way I was. And I knew that I had a loving God in my life that loved me and accepted me just the way I was. All my pimples and warts and herpes and all my shit, right? You know, no, really. And just give it a big hug. It's okay, right? And because you can only move from where you are. You can only move from where you are, right? Don't ring that bell. And so I needed to, so to that end, the single thing that I've done in recovery that has made the biggest difference in my life is just taking a half a step back and letting some good shit happen, you know? Just resisting the urge to screw it up. Just, you know, get in there and just screw it all up. Because I knew what I deserved. I knew how much punishment I deserved. The big book says we are an undisciplined bunch, so we let God discipline us. So when I know how much punishment I deserve and I dish it out to myself, I'm playing God, you know? It says in the big book we have to quit playing God. And that's just the point I wanted to make, is that in step 6, you know what? We have to give ourselves a break. Speaking of a break,